Good morning.
Good morning.
Christ is in our midst.
He is in our shadow.
And welcome and good morning to everyone who's joining us this morning online. It's good to have you with us. Wish you were here. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In 1945, communism came to Albania, and the church was severely persecuted. Priests were imprisoned and tortured, and some executed. In 1967, Albania literally outlawed God. Albania became the first officially atheist country in the world. Actually made it illegal to be a Christian. That year, its ruler, and you know, biblically, you don't name, if you're a sinner or something, you're not worthy of a name, so I won't even mention his name, okay? The authoritarian ruler ordered all churches demolished or converted into a secular facility. Kids were taught in school as part of the curriculum that God did not exist. Public expressions of faith were banned. You could not even say Merry Christmas. It was against the law. Okay. As we know, in 1990, communism collapsed, ended, and the Church of Albania has enjoyed a wonderful resurrection. In 1992, OCMC missionary Father Luke Veronis and his wife Presbyteta Faith were asked by Archbishop Anastasios, who was the bishop in Africa and in Albania, where Father Luke was, says, please come up here and help us rebuild the church. So Father Luke and Presbyteta were there for 10 and a half years. Father Luke tells a story about a priest named Father Joseph. He was imprisoned for 28 years, and in this prison he was tortured. And when the church reopened, in Albania, there were only 22 priests left, and he was one of the priests, and he was given a parish. Then late one evening, when Father Joseph was getting ready to go to sleep, the doorbell rang, or knocked on a door, I don't know. And Father Joseph opened the door and saw a man that was greatly, greatly distressed. And the man asked to come in. Of course, it was dark. He couldn't really see too much outside. But when the man came in the lighted room, he recognized the man. It was one of the guards in prison who used to beat on him. He used to torture him. And Father Joseph said he was a very cruel man. This guard stood before Father Joseph in the living room of his house, begging for forgiveness. And Father Joseph forgave him right then and there. Recounting this, he told this to Father Luke. I did not desire revenge. Truthfully, even in prison, I prayed for my persecutors. I prayed that God would turn these fierce animals into human beings. And that night, he says, in front of my eyes, I saw the transformation of one of these animals. And this once cruel prison guard became a member of his church. Isn't God good? Only a person, brothers and sisters, filled with the Holy Spirit can forgive as Father Joseph did. Let's own that. Let's own that. For me, this is such a testimony of faith in Christ and having the presence of God in us. Because why? Love forgives. Love reconciles. And reconciliation is at the heart of the gospel. Before we celebrate the liturgy, the very first words in my liturgy book says this, I have to do. When a priest desires to serve to perform the divine mystery, he must first be at peace with all people. In other words, he must have no ongoing conflicts. He must be reconciled. He must strive. He has no discord, right? That makes you try really hard to be a good guy, by the way, okay? And this means before I come here, all my relationships have to be good. All my relationships have to be reconciled. And I would add this, because we serve the liturgy together, somehow this extends to all of us. Jesus says these words, and this, of course, applies to the temple, but applies to us today. If you're offering your gift at the altar, and brothers and sisters, we offer bread and wine, fulfilling the Old Testament offerings, and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift and go first and be reconciled to your brother, and then come make your offering. So we need to be reconciled. And reconciled means that we need to restore harmony where communion has been broken. Before the fall, brothers and sisters, the Garden of Eden, it was perfect harmony, a wholeness, a completeness, a complete communion between man and God. Man was in a perfect and holy relationship with God, and it was an intimate and complete communion of love. And God gave the whole garden to Adam and Eve to do what they want. There was only one restriction, and it was for the safety of the man's soul. And the restriction was what? To fast from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, to not eat its fruit. Why? Because if we ate of this tree, and what we eat comes into us, right? We commune with it. And when you eat of the tree, this knowledge of good and evil, you would commune with the knowledge of evil. And if we, you know, there's a saying, you are what you eat, right? So you partake of evil, you commune with evil, even evil enters you. And no longer can you be pure in heart. And in the words of Genesis, the fruit is, God says, you will surely die. And now God doesn't say, because you eat this fruit, I'm going to cause you to die. He's saying it's the byproduct of eating this fruit that this is going to end up in death, okay? And as we know, man broke the fast. He disobeyed God and ate the fruit. And when Adam and Eve ate this bitter fruit, something in them changed. They organically changed. They no longer were the people that they were made in God's image and like the purity that they had. Suddenly, they had issues with walking around naked in the garden. Think about that. Suddenly, something that was pure and holy became something wrong, at least to them. And the word in Hebrew for naked means to be poured out into the other person. Before knowing evil, it was okay to be naked because there was no barriers between people. They were totally, Adam and Eve were totally poured out into each other. There was no pride, there was no ego, there was nothing to hide. But now suddenly, it's no okay. It's not longer okay to have no walls. All of a sudden, it's not okay anymore to not be fully exposed to the other. Now separateness is introduced into relationships. Adam and Eve no longer, they became autonomous beings. Independent beings. You know, I don't like this word. By the way, it's nowhere in the scriptures. They became individuals. And the etymology of the word individual is to be separated from some, is to be separate, divide, to be separated. And so what do? They clothe themselves with fig leaves because they need to hide and keep a part of themselves a secret. And what's impure now became impure because of the subject to the passions. And Adam and Eve sew these fig leaves to hide their nakedness. Now what happens? God comes to visit Adam and Eve in the garden after they do this. And what do they? And they see God coming, and what do they go do? They go and hide. It's kind of like hide and seek, maybe. I don't know. They hide, and what does God do? He goes out hunting them out. He seeks them, and he finds them. And because he loves them, he looks at their pitiful fig leaves, their biodegradable fig leaves, and makes them garments of animal skin. And notice, when Adam and Eve sinned and broke communion with God, he did not abandon them. When they hid, he hunted them out. And this is what I want us to see. God made, from that moment, God made the first effort, made the effort of reconciling and reconciling man to God. Communion was broken, and God made it right away, hunting them out, looking for them. God took the initiative. And reconciliation is at the core of the ministry of Christ coming into the world. It's at the core of the gospel. Christ came into the world to reconcile man to God through the cross. That's why our Lord took on flesh. Again, God is love, and love reconciles. And this brings us to my main point for today. One way the church continues the ministry, the reconciling ministry of God, is through the sacrament of reconciliation, the sacrament of confession. The fathers tell us that we don't like to go to confession because we don't like to feel naked. We don't like to expose our sins. Because of our pride and ego, we want to cover them up. We don't want to reveal them. We're embarrassed to say them. Let me just say this about me. I'm a priest and I'm a fellow sinner. I have my sins. And I went to confession this week. I go to confession. I'm repenting. And I want to say this emphatically, even though we may be embarrassed about our sins, our struggles with our sins and everything else, the priest only cares about you and your soul. And it's arrogant to say this in one way, but he wants to hunt you out and wants to reconcile you with God. He wants you to be made one with God again. He only cares about you and your salvation and the healing of your soul. But you have to make the initiative. Do you see this? We have to want to repent. And I'm very emphatic about this. In today's gospel, Jesus heals a paralyzed man. We just heard about it. And biblically, in a Jewish mind and in the tradition of the church, illness is connected with sin. We pray during the liturgy, litany of fervent supplication. We pray for mercy, life, peace, health, salvation, visitation, name the person, and for the pardon and what? Remission of their sins, because illness is connected with our sins. And because illness is connected with sins, Jesus says to the paralyzed man first, your sins are forgiven. And then he says, rise, take up your pallet, and walk. The paralytic is healed. The prerequisite was healing was for the forgiveness of sins. Likewise for us. There's a story in Luke 17 of the 10 lepers. They pray to God, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You know, they're lepers and they want healing from God. And Jesus says to him in response from this, go show yourself to the priests. And when they go to the priests, what happens? They are cleansed. This is a model for confession, right? We go to sacrament reconciliation like the lepers. We show ourselves to the priest. We expose our sin. And if we truly repent, and your sin is to God, not me. You expose your sin to God, and we too are cleansed. The Apostle John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive them and cleanse us, just like the lepers were cleansed, and cleanse us from righteousness. And when you come to confession, brothers and sisters, and I say this to everyone for their first confession, but it's a good reminder for all of us. We do not confess to the priest. We confess to God. We come before here at St. Justin's the way we have it set it up, and it's the same pattern just in different churches. We have it up front. When we build our new church or expand, whatever we do, we'll have actually a little bit of a better place for confession. But you come before our Lord's cross and his incarnate word. Because at the cross, our sins are nailed, we're forgiven through the cross, and in the words of our Lord are incarnate in the book. And we come there and we name our sins, we're specific, we call them out, and we repent. The priest asks, do you repent of all your sins? Because I can't remember. I remember my first confession, a little boy going to confession. And it's kind of funny. My mom coached me on my list, I guess, you know. And I tried remembering everything. I go to confession, and I'm leaving. And we did it during Sunday school, and it was on a Saturday. We had Saturday Sunday school. I guess that's kind of, we called it church school. And I remember leaving, and I said to, I was going back to our class or building. And then I said to the Matushka, she was my teacher. I said, Matushka, I forgot a sin. I was all upset. God's not going to forgive me now. And she says, God knows what God knows. He said, is where your heart's at. Are you really sorry? And I said, yeah, I'm really sorry. And she says, God forgives, and just next time you go to confession. And that's the point. We go there. It's the whole idea. Confession, what's in confession is when we prepare for it. It's when you, and I put in the flyer, and I'm wrapping it up here. In the bulletin today, there's a flyer on preparing for confession. This flyer was given to us priests at a retreat with Father Tom Hopko in confession. That, you know, it was about priests going to confession, because it's really hard for us, because it's hard to find someone to hear our sins. All my priests who I went to confession with are all old and retired, and now are unavailable even to hear my confession. So I'm going to other priests, but I mean, Father Arcadi, and Father Arcadi moves, 3 years, three priests gone away on me. So, but I was fortunate to be with a brother the other day and go to confession with him. But I put out this handout, it was a confession. I encourage you to read it, it's excellent. It's perfect. And things to think about it, relationships, everything else. So I encourage you, Also, I put in the fellowship hall, brothers and sisters, a sign-up list. There's, I don't know how many slots, but please sign up. If those slots don't work for you, please send me an email, and we'll see what works that we can sync our calendars up with. And but finally, I very vehemently, with much energy, say, please get your confessions done before Holy Week, because I want to journey on Holy Week to our Lord, with our Lord, to His Holy Passion. We need to be, and that's what confession's about. We fast, we prepare for the season, we want to encounter Christ, we want to go mystically on His, join Him in His Passion, but we need to cleanse ourselves beforehand. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.